Welcome to the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you and your wallet. I want you to learn ideas from me so that you can keep more of what you make. Clark.com is our main website. ClarkDeals.com is where you go to save money each and every day. Coming up in today's Clarkrageous Moment, Verizon has done a bad thing. I'm going to tell you what you need to be aware of if you are considering switching to Verizon or you are an existing Verizon customer. And later yet this hour, there are some things Amazon is doing to try to encourage you to do more gift buying this holiday season with Amazon. And think about what I just said. I am part of the problem. This is the third time in a week I have talked about this being the Christmas shopping season or Christmas holiday season. And it's barely fall. Or in the next day or two or something. I should know that. You know what's funny? When you have kids, fall to you is whatever day kids go back to school. Even if some of the school systems that go back now in late July, for those parents, that's the beginning of fall. But anyway, Christmas is underway, whether you like it or not. And I'm going to keep you up to date on the trends that could be your friend or your foe with Christmas shopping, and more about that later. So there's a lot going on with healthcare right now. In the U.S. Senate, there's a lot of discussion about a bill that two senators have introduced, Graham and Cassidy from South Carolina and Louisiana, that would change the delivery of health coverage to individuals and small businesses in the United States, and also to low-income people. And it's all about this debate that's been going on for 8 years, going back to 2009, about how do we, in the United States, provide health care to single individuals, you know, people not part of a big company plan, and how do we provide to people that are ill or lower income, that are ill and lower income, I guess is how I should say it. And we'll see what happens ultimately with a vote in the Senate. We'll then have to go to the House. Then ultimately, if things move along in both, then there's a House-Senate conference committee and on like that. The core of what they are attempting to do is fund healthcare principally for individuals and for the poor with federal dollars, but then turn over control of those federal dollars to each of the 50 states, and each state would design an experiment with how they would provide coverage to individuals and the poor within their state borders. And there's potential merit in that because the cost curve is not sustainable for how we currently are providing care to individuals through the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, whatever you want to call it. But that's a sideshow. The big expense with healthcare in the United States is government-provided healthcare through Medicare and the traditional Medicaid program, and then through coverage provided by large employers. Now, in terms of large employers, there's new data that has just come out that shows that the average employee now costs an employer $19,000 a year for health coverage. Wow. Now, the good news, and there is some according to data from the Kaiser Family Foundation, is that the increase over the last 6 years in the cost of employers providing health care has significantly moderated to half of the annual increase prior to 6 years ago. So today, the cost of employer-provided health care is going up roughly 3% a year, where it was going up 6% a year. Now, compare that, though, to inflation that's roughly 1.5% a year. So health care is still going up at twice a sustainable rate for employer-provided plans. And so we've got a lot we've got to do in the United States. And I wish that, and nobody has the exact right answer to this stuff, but I wish that we did not have employer-provided health care in the United States at all. Because you look at where the engine of growth is in the United States, it's in new small startup businesses. But among them, only roughly half can even provide rudimentary health care coverage to their employees because the backbreaking cost is so high that they can't afford to get their business going and growing and provide for health care. And that means a lot of people who are real creative types who could really create economic growth in the country are locked in at a big bureaucratic employer that provides health care instead of being at a small business where the action is. So a lot we've got to consider about how we do health care. A lot of what's going on in D.C. right now is political theater, and it would be great if we were looking wider and deeper about how we bend the price curve on health care in the United States, because we are spending roughly double a share of our national income on health care versus any other developed country in the world. So we spend absolutely far more dollars than any other country per person, and a far greater share of our national income, and our life expectancies in the United States are significantly lower even than a number of third world countries. So we're not getting bang for the buck. We're just spending a lot of bucks, nearly 20% of national income going to health care. And as it becomes clear for 2018, over the months ahead, how small businesses and individuals will buy health care, I'll make sure, just as we've done, as we did years ago when the Obamacare exchanges started, I'll make sure you know the rules of the road as best I can describe them to you for buying individual or group coverage as we roll closer to 2018 and how it will work becomes more clear. Noel joins us on the Clark Howard Show. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Clark. How are you?
Great, great. So you are refiing your mortgage, you brilliant man.
That is correct. We're going from a 30-year to a 15-year, and with the Experian debacle going on, I wanted to know when the earliest I can freeze my credit is.
All right, so a little bit of details first. What kind of interest rate do you have on your 30, and what interest rate does it look like you'll have on your 15?
So right now we've got a 3.5% on our 30, and we're looking at 2.75% on our 15.
2.75%?
Yes, sir.
That's outstanding.
Thank you.
Because I've been talking a lot about people getting like 2.875 to 3.125%. Yours is the lowest I've heard from anybody.
So we have a 2.875. We're buying it down to 2.75 for just about $300.
Wow. All right. So you're basically going to be, as inflation ultimately rises in the economy, it means the equivalent that the bank will be paying you to have that mortgage.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. Good for you. So as far as credit freeze with the Equifax thing, because I think you said Experian, it was Equifax.
I'm sorry, I did say Experian, and it's obviously, yeah, it's Equifax.
Yeah, so anyway, as far as the credit freeze stuff, you're going to close how many weeks away?
We're turning in the final documentation for our paperwork today. So we haven't locked the loan yet. We hope to do that today. And then closing hopefully within the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Fine. So after you're done with the closing, that's when you should put the credit freezes in with the three bureaus.
Okay, great.
Because this breach is a lifelong thing. I think I've failed to really adequately state that this is not just, oh, there's going to be vulnerabilities for the next month or two or next 6 months or whatever. The information is so wide and so deep that Equifax lost control of that you stand a risk of identity theft for as long as you live.
Right.
So if you've got to wait a month before you put the freezes in place, that's fine. Because one of the advantages of that, people are having so many problems right now because of the sheer number of people trying to do the freezes.
Sure.
That if you have to wait a few weeks, it'll probably mean that it'll be a whole lot easier for you.
Okay, great.
All right. Well, best to you and congratulations on 2.75%. Wow. Producer Joel's really jealous. You don't have any 2.75s, do you, Joel?
Not that low, sadly.
So you have four mortgages with all these rental properties you have. What are all your rates?
3.5, 3.75, 3.75, and then 4.5.
4.5? That sounds so high these days. Rick is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Rick.
Oh, hi, Clark. How are you today?
I'm having a great day. I hope you are, too.
Yes, I am, and thank you for everything that you do for us. Much appreciated.
Thank you, and you're looking so good today, which is so important with the question you're about to ask.
That's true. That is true. I would like to know whether it's better for me to use an online will maker or just go and see an attorney.
That depends on the complexity of your family situation, your finances, and whether you got a lot of money or not.
What is a lot of money?
Well, let's take it in reverse order first, because usually I get to the answer that you should go see a lawyer after the first thing. Do you have a blended family?
No.
Okay. Do you have any drama in your family among your children?
I'm divorced and we're estranged.
Okay, then we don't even get to steps two and three. In that case, you should go see a lawyer to do the will. And the reason I don't get to you doing your own will in a circumstance like that is whenever you have any what I call family drama, you stand too much chance that doing your own will, that family members that disagree while you're alive will really learn how to disagree when you pass away, and they'll look to exploit a vulnerability in a will that you have prepared yourself.
Okay.
So
well, that answers
in
that
your
answers
case,
my question.
Your case, the only way you would want to do your own will is if you have basically no meaningful assets at all.
Well, that's not the case.
So definitely a lawyer for you. And the one thing I always say, if you have a family member you've fallen out with and you own a timeshare, make sure in your will you give that timeshare to the person you've fallen out with.
Yes, yes, that's an excellent idea.
But a lawyer is in your future, and since you do have, gather some decent assets, you want a lawyer who specializes in wills, estates, and trusts and doesn't occasionally do a will because they're doing it as a favor for a client or a friend.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
So here we go again with Verizon, the by far the most expensive cell phone operator to use in the country. And Verizon, you know, last month I was picking on them for Verizon Up, which is where they offer you the equivalent of frequent flyer program for your Verizon service, where you get free prizes and free concert tickets and all that. But what they didn't disclose is that you were agreeing to a massive spy thing where Verizon would spy on everything you do. And even if you later say, oops, I don't want them spying on me, they retain the right to continue to hold information about you for 3 more years. Shame on you, Verizon. Now they're in my sights again because they're not being good to you. Wait till you hear why.
Scams, ripoffs, outrages. It's a Clark Regis moment.
Verizon that reluctantly went back to unlimited data on its cell phone plans because they were losing so many customers and so much market share to the market leader, T-Mobile. Now that they offer unlimited again, now they're kicking people out of the system that are using what they consider to be too much unlimited data. I can't make this stuff up. And they're kicking people out in 13 different states, unlucky 13. And if you want to know the states that they're picking on people, Alaska, Idaho, Iowa, Indiana, Kentucky, Maine, Michigan, Missouri, Montana, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Utah, and Wisconsin. And there's an esoteric story behind the scenes I'm not even going to get into why Verizon is picking on people in those 13 unlucky states. But know the danger that unlimited with Verizon does not mean unlimited. And you should take this as a fair warning. There are far, far, far cheaper choices for your cell phone service than Verizon. Look at my cell phone plan buying guide at clark.com. And if somebody really doesn't want you, it means you shouldn't want them. Joel, I want you. I want to hear an Ask Clark right now where someone's posted a question for me at Clark.com.
Sounds good, Clark. Amanda wrote in, said, my 13-year-old son has been able to save his birthday and Christmas money and now has upwards of $13,000 in the bank. While he might use this for college, it's not set in stone. Should we invest this money for him or let it sit in the bank?
Invest, invest, invest. And go look at my investment guide. At that age, he should have a custodial account with one of my low-cost companies and start making some real money. Glad you're with us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to keep more of what you make. Clark.com is our main website. And if you want to follow me on Facebook, you can at facebook.com/Clark Howard. Amazon was blamed repeatedly in news stories for the demise of Toys R Us, which actually Amazon had nothing to do with the failure of Toys R Us. It was completely a self-inflicted thing, demise. Well, bankruptcy. They're going to operate, hopefully for them, through the bankruptcy court process. But they had piled on $5 billion in debt, and that's why. But there are a lot of people that say, well, it's because they did that cooperative deal with Amazon, and that was what killed them. No. No, they managed to hurt themselves. And it all came full circle because, I don't know if you've heard, Kohl's, the mainly women's clothing department store, whatever you call Kohl's, but they have some men's and kids stuff, but it's really for women. Anyway, Kohl's is doing a joint venture with Amazon that they're starting in two of the biggest Amazon markets as a test, Los Angeles and Chicago. And I think actually for Kohl's, Chicago is bigger than LA, and for Amazon, LA is bigger than Chicago. But anyway, they're building out a store within the store, inside the Kohl's stores. And they're about the size of a small house in terms of square footage, and it is for returns to Amazon. So if you buy something from Amazon, you take it back to the Kohl's, and they handle everything from there. They just do some kind of barcode check-in of you, of your return, and you leave. And they pack it up, and they ship it back to whichever distribution center Amazon wants it to go back to. The idea is that one of the hardest things for any online retailer is dealing with returns. It's also a point of dissatisfaction for customers. Krista of our crew was talking about how she has, they order too much from Amazon. She's got four things that she hadn't gotten around to returning to Amazon because it's too much of a pain to return it. And when I was talking about the Kohl's thing, she lit up how great this is because she'd just be able to go and let them handle it. And so what's in it for Kohl's? Kohl's, one of the things they need is more foot traffic. Their foot traffic count is a problem for them. And so if they can get more people in their doors, for them, they expect it to be a win because people, once they go to return the stuff at the Amazon desk or section or whatever, that they'll then turn around and say, oh, look at that. I like that sweater. Oh, those are nice gloves, whatever. And that people will buy things as they are present in the store. And we'll see if it works. This completely caught me blindsided because I thought that Amazon would put a return center and a delivery center within the square footage of every Whole Foods in the country. And so far, as best I know, there's no move afoot to do that, which seems completely logical to me as a way to try to build traffic at Whole Foods that still doesn't have enough traffic in their stores. And at the same time, to give people an easier way to receive Amazon packages and to return the ones they don't want. Richard's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Clark. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on, Richard?
I wanted to share my experience with T-Mobile and the free Netflix plan with your listeners.
Okay.
So I have a family plan with them, the T-Mobile One plan, and I called to try and inquire about getting the free Netflix from them. And they explained to me that the plan that I have is Family One with taxes excluded. And in order to qualify for their free Netflix, I needed a plan that was taxes included. So they said I needed a different plan.
Okay. That sounds like the biggest bunch of bureaucratic double talk nonsense ever. So how many people are on your plan that they gave you that kind of answer?
So there's four of us, my wife and I, and then two of my children.
And what are you paying per month?
Well, so our base plan is for $140, but with everything else included, it comes to close to $200.
Everything else included? How do you run all the way up to $200?
Well, my son has expensive tastes, and we got an iPhone 7 for
him.
Oh,
the phone rental. Okay, so leaving the phone rental out, you're on a plan that you pay $140 a month plus junk fees?
Well, so taxes included, it comes to about $160 a month for the plan.
All right. And what they offer to you is an option of going to the plan where you pay them $160 and pay no taxes or fees at all, right?
No. So the new plan with taxes included was $180. They wanted to switch me to that in order to give me the free Netflix.
Which would be just such a terrible decision. So how did the plan get to $180?
They plan said that was there,
I think maybe that you had somebody who didn't know what he or she was talking about. I'm looking right now as we're speaking, and it's glaring in front of me that it says four lines, just $40 each, Netflix included, $160 a month, taxes and fees included.
Okay. All right. So perhaps the customer service person was not accurate in what they shared with me.
Okay. So you said that with such politeness. I am so impressed because I'd say they just didn't know what they were talking about. I love how politely you said it. So, you know, one thing I would do, do you have a T-Mobile store anywhere near you?
Sure, yes, very close.
If you walk in and go to your computer, I mean, right on your phone, you've got unlimited data. Just pull up the T-Mobile website on your phone, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. $40 a line per month. Then they have this little bubble that says Netflix included with an asterisk. $160 a month, taxes and fees included. Boom.
Yeah.
So they just were mistaken.
So do you think, I mean, would it be worth my while to make the switch to get the free Netflix? Or
yeah, because you'd be paying exactly the same price. Now, the only reason you wouldn't do it is if there's some feature you have on your plan that you would not have on the $160 a month all in.
Okay.
So you need to look at exactly what your plan gets you in terms of, like, what kind of hotspot do you get with your plan?
It's a free hotspot. It's not a very strong one, though.
Okay, because I have a hotspot that seems pretty good on mine. So I would go in and talk to them, and maybe there's newer things than when you got that plan that would actually be a better deal for you.
Okay.
And I will tell you that their employees are fighting from behind on the Netflix offer, because I have T-Mobile and I have Netflix, and it took me 2 days and 3 phone calls to try to get the Netflix, and finally I just did it on my computer. And then everything was working fine.
Okay.
And you're not on a prepaid plan, are you, or anything like that?
No, not at all. No, it's month to month.
Yeah, so you should be 100% fine on this.
Okay, well, great. Thanks for the help and the information.
Sure. As far as who doesn't count on this plan, the most important of things I talked about recently, the 55-plus plan, which is the no-fooling best cell phone plan for a couple there could possibly be, but one of you has to be 55 or over, and then you pay a total of $60 a month total for both of you, including all junk fees, for unlimited talk, text, data. But it's such a screaming deal, $30 a person per month per line, you don't get the free Netflix. David is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, David.
Hey, Clark. How's it going? Thanks
for taking my call. Thank you. David.
How you doing?
You love the NFL like I do.
I'm an addict. I'm a self-admitted NFL addict.
All right. So here's how you know if you really are an addict. Will you watch a bad NFL game?
If I have a guy in my fantasy team playing in it, sure.
No. See, I'll watch the lamest teams in the league and still enjoy watching it. I just love the game. I don't find much appeal in the college game for me, but the NFL, oh, wow.
I'm the same way. I grew up in the Northeast, so it's not like down here in the South. Growing up in Connecticut, it's all about the NFL teams up there. So
Connecticut, you could either be a Patriots fan or you could be a Jets-Giants fan.
I am a New England fan, and needless to say, I enjoyed last February.
Oh, you are such a mean person.
Well, I was taking a lot of harassment in the first half of that game, let me tell you.
Yeah, and I know 3/28 was a holiday in Boston this year.
I won't rub it in.
Oh, you already did. I hear it in your voice. Okay, so now you want me to help you after you insult me this way? Go ahead.
Yes, well, I know you know, I'm trying to adopt your ways of cutting costs, and I want to cut the cord and get away from DirecTV or any type of cable service, because I think we're overpaying for what we're currently are paying. And we don't go overboard on it, but, you know, Sunday Ticket is one of my indulgences. And I can't seem to find any avenue how to get NFL Sunday Ticket besides DirecTV. So that's
you,
why
all right,
I,
so,
I searched their website and I couldn't find anything.
Right, so here's the story. AT&T owns the rights to it, and they also bought DirecTV.
Okay.
So what they've done, they're trying to boost the numbers for DirecTV. So you have to buy it as part of having DirecTV service unless you cannot have a satellite dish where you live. So let me tell you how you deal with that. Do you have any relatives that live in a condo or apartment building?
Not currently. Well, actually, my parents, yeah, they live in a condo.
There's your answer. So you have your parents sign up for it.
Okay.
And they do an address check. And if you can't have a satellite dish at your parents' address, then bam, you're in. And you set up the account for your parents, pay them for it. And then your parents actually have to pay it because the credit card has to be tied into the address where your parents live. And then you'll be able to stream all of NFL Sunday Ticket as you wish.
Okay.
Now, the other thing you should do is you should find a kid and put them through college. Because if somebody has an EDU email address, then they pay, I think it's, they pay one-third of what a normal earthling pays for the streaming NFL Sunday Ticket.
Oh, well, I have a freshman at Georgia Southern, so I can make that happen.
So now you're going to pay $100 for the whole season, having your college freshman sign up for it.
Okay. My wife will be happy about that.
Yeah, so that's a deal, right?
Right. So that's the only way if I can find somebody that has an address.
Yeah, but you just did. I mean, your son will have at his college, will have an EDU.
Okay.
And that's the key trigger to being able to sign up at the college student rate. And you and he will be able to share the NFL Sunday Ticket for $100 for the remainder of the season.
All right. That's a great deal, actually.
Oh, it's better than a great deal. It's an extraordinary deal to get the NFL that cheap. So I have to wait till my teenager goes to college next year, and then that's how I'm going to get it so cheaply. It's time for Ask Clark and Joel. This is a special edition of Ask Clark.
Yeah, Clark, we've had a lot of listeners and readers write in on our Facebook page and to our Ask Clark forum at clark.com/ask, and they're wondering why you recommend Credit Karma when they get an F with the Better Business Bureau.
All right, here's one from a listener named Rick that says, how can you promote Credit Karma with an F rating from the BBB? You claim not to take sponsorship or money from advertisers on your radio show. So why would you advise us to use Credit Karma with such a bad rating, since you always advise not to use home or auto insurance companies with a bad rating? And that's just one of several like that. And then there's one in response from Robert. I've been using Credit Karma for over 2 years. I check my credit every week, and I think it's great. I started using it because of Clark Howard, and as I said, I'm very happy with the service. And, I mean, it's one of those things. It's like these political message boards now where people are firing at each other with the messages. So the point is very well taken. Oh, back to the original one. Does Credit Karma advertise on our website or the show?
I don't think so.
I don't even know stuff like that. And by the way, I am unbought and unbossed. I take money from nobody, and it's just how I do things. So I have said that you should set up a Credit Karma dashboard, and there are others as well. There's Credit Sesame. Is Quizzle still around? Quizzle. There are a number of these where you can set up, where you can monitor your credit for free. I just like the dashboard of Credit Karma. A lot of the complaints, apparently, with the Better Business Bureau about Credit Karma Tax, their new tax service, and I guess there must have been some problems with that where they were offering free tax filing. And I don't know if Credit Karma is doing a bad job responding to the Better Business Bureau, and we're going to ask them what the deal is if they're not executing like they should with responding to complaints properly, because that's how you end up with an F with the Better Business Bureau. I still stand by believing in the midst of this Equifax breach that Credit Karma is step one before you freeze your credit files. So for free, you'll be able to monitor your credit with two of the three major credit bureaus. Remember, it is for free. They'll alert you when somebody's snooping around your credit. You will get their version of a credit score. By the way, on the Better Business Bureau site, there are lots of people complaining that the Credit Karma score is that they're getting from the two bureaus is lower than what they're seeing from actual FICO scores. And then other people are saying that the scores are FICOs because they're much higher than the FICO scores from the real credit bureaus. So people take their credit score and standing very seriously. But I will tell you, you need to really protect yourself on this incredibly bad Equifax breach. And that's why I stand by the steps I've recommended at Clark.com. Check out what I'd like you to do to protect yourself from Equifax. You're listening to The Clark Howard Show. Thanks for tuning into The Clark Howard Show today. And if you're like me, you like deals. Well, we got our deal diggers hard at work at ClarkDeals.com that help you save money day in and day out. We work around the clock to find the best deals for your wallet, and they're on a variety of consumer items. Check out ClarkDeals.com.